So I don't want to center a white narrative here, but I think if you're going to talk about racism in America, you really have to talk about the white side of that issue. There's a priest and a theologian whose work I follow really closely named Broderick Greer. He told me once that racism is a white problem, which is something that had never been elucidated so clearly before.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like black Americans are choosing to live in a racist system.
Yeah.
They're not making choices that perpetuate that. It's a white problem. So what you have is in post-war America, like after World War II, there was this radical over-application or disproportionate allocation of the funding of the GI Bill and other post-World War II rebuilding efforts that centered on white soldiers and white communities. So it took what you already had, this disparity between whites and blacks in America, but really low-income whites weren't in that dramatically different a station than black Americans. But then you infuse all this post-war capital into white societies, and you start having this flight from urban centers and the suburbanization of America. And then you got to the situation of a segregated America, the separate but equal America, that fueled that original globe-changing civil rights movement. And there was this period of white progress on issues of race. But the response, instead of fully adjusting for these enduring economic disparities, was instead to roughly integrate schools, but still associating school funding with property taxes, which is a form of economic segregation and violence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have an intentional effort to create a post-racial America by telling school children, white and black school children, a narrative in which, no, we're all equal and we all get along now.
Hmm.
And so then you have this generation of people all over the country who believe they exist in a post-racial society. White kids bought the story because white kids in school districts that had enough property tax for a nice school, all their black friends were affluent. So they knew affluent black children who reinforced their idea that they lived in a post-racial America.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have, that's what happened during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, right? So you, what happened there is everyone saw themselves, or most people saw themselves, in a post-racial society, white people, and it became very taboo in white society, even in the South, to say overtly racial things, to use racial slurs, which represented some form of progress. But then we get to today, and a couple things are happening. One, a continually soft economy that's disproportionately benefiting the wealthiest Americans has created a sense of unease and panic among low-income and middle-income white people.
Mm-hmm.
So their station is legitimately getting worse. And, for example, the data would tell us the only population group in America who is experiencing a decline in life expectency is low-income whites, mm-hmm. right? So there's a real problem there. But so they're panicked. And what happens in response? Well, at the same time, you're seeing the whirlwind be reaped in terms of long-standing racist policies in America, especially in terms of incarceration, drug crime, police brutality with black America.
Yep.
And so you have this dissolving of the post-racial facade. And so people entrench in one of two ways. One is they become fragile with white fragility. White fragility is what happens when a white person who believes themselves to be basically good is confronted by the idea that they are part of supremacist systems, and it frightens them. And it either paralyzes them or puts them in a state of denial. Or some demagogue comes along and tells them the reason your factory jobs are gone is because of these Mexicans mm-hmm. and these angry black people. And so you have this legitimate angry response in the form of movements like Black Lives Matter that become a way to demonize a good movement with people who are afraid and drive this wedge into the country. And that's the cauldron and the tempest we're sitting in.
Okay, let me pause this for a second. When propaganda tweets out that, okay, I did the Liturgist podcast, So for you guys that are coming into this, I just want to put this on record. That's the most stay woke white boy I've ever met in my life.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't even know I'm here. You just
diagnosed the problem so well.
What do I have to add to that? He talked about fragility.
That's why we write for the abused, for the accused, battered and bruised.